little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
I'd like to explore some things that potentially might be able to help you at the moment. If we prioritise this, the anxiety is the main problem, but there's also an experience of pain which varies anything between 5, which it is at the moment, to much more severe, affecting your legs. You didn't quite put a number to that. Could you give me a number that it ranges from between 5 and what for your leg pain?
Pain, in a medical sense, is different to a layman's term. When it's really bad, it's more of a, I don't know, about a 6, something like that.
Okay, so between a 5 and a 6. Okay.
Yes.
I'd like to talk you through some options, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. And you've already mentioned that you're keen to consider the... You've had a lot of talking therapies, you've seen a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Those talking therapies are open to you. And when we're exploring things that would work and help for anxiety, mm-hmm. I'd like, with your permission, to ask you to listen to my options discussion about management for anxiety. But I'm going to focus temporarily on pain at the moment, because it may well be that if we deal with pain, we'll also deal with the anxiety, because sometimes the same solutions work for anxiety too.
Okay.
So because you've not had much of a discussion recently about pain, we focus on pain today.
Right.
And I'll leave you with some homework before you go, which is to look at the real generalpractice.co.uk discussion about anxiety symptoms, about how to manage that, if that's okay.
Yes, I've done a lot of reading about this sort of thing in the past.
Great.
You don't have my records. You've only got a year's amount of records. They haven't been transferred yet.
Gotcha. Well, hopefully when they do come through, we'll be able to look at those together.
I've been on a CBT course.
Yeah.
And various things like that.
Okay. So a lot of the options that you would potentially explore, you've already explored.
Yeah.
So you might find some new material on there.
Yeah.
And there is also an exploration of medication options related to anxiety too. So, but I'd like you, once you're up to date with where I am with the options that are available for managing anxiety, to come back to me. But today we're going to focus really mostly on the pain side of things, if that's okay with you.
Okay, yeah.
So I've got a tool here which is available on the internet, and I'll write down the web address so that you can look at this yourself. So it's available on the internet, and if someone was to type into their search engine pain-calculator.com,
mm-hmm.
they would come up with this tool. And at the moment, we have information and numbers to help you decide what medication might be helpful for you for managing neuropathic pain.
Mm-hmm.
There are tools that will be available very soon for managing osteoarthritis pain and back pain.
Mm-hmm.
Your pain is felt possibly to be neuropathic,
mm-hmm.
but whatever it is, it's a long-standing pain.
Yes.
And that pain, by the nature of the pain, and you describe it as being like a...
scar tissue.
Like scar tissue, or as if some sticky tape has been torn off your skin. Mm-hmm. Kind of a raw sensation.
Yeah.
So that could fit with the description of neuropathic. Neuropathic, usually we would find that people have an electric shock type pain. So if we look overall at the choices of treatments, you've probably tried quite a few of these already.
Yeah.
And you may have tried them to help you with your anxiety or to help you with your sleep. But we're going to look at them today with fresh eyes.
Sure.
And we're going to look at them in terms of how helpful or otherwise they might be.
Yeah.
For helping you cope with the pain symptom that you've got.
Yeah.
If we were to make an assumption that this is a neuropathic pain, possibly caused by the disc prolapse that you had before,
yeah.
damaging the nerves that come down the legs. Okay.
Yeah. I've had a CT scan for that.
Yeah. And what did that show?
It was not clear what the problem. It may be an issue, may not.
Okay. We often find that on CT scans,
yeah.
and often things are a bit vague. And really, oftentimes, what we're expecting, what we're finding is the story of having pain in a nerve type of distribution is what makes us think that it could be neuropathic pain.
And unfortunately, I can't have an MRI because of the pacemaker.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm hoping that when the battery runs out, which it will do in the next year or so, I'll get a pacemaker replacement that will withstand the MRI, and then I can have an MRI.
Okay. So just to go back over that again, neuropathic pain is either usually a burning sensation or an electric shock sensation.
Mm-hmm.
But your raw sensation, as if you've had sticky tape on your leg, could potentially be neuropathic pain.
Yeah.
Let's look at these together, if that's all right. So we've got choices of medications that are often used for neuropathic pain and how helpful or otherwise they are.
Yeah.
At the top of the list is a tablet called amitriptyline.
Which I've been on.
Which you've been on, and that was, you stopped that 3 months ago. And amitriptyline helps in one in two people, but we don't know how responsible for the pain relief the amitriptyline is in itself, or at least we can guess. So 25%, so one in four people get benefit from the amitriptyline, and one in four people get benefit because they're on a tablet. And it's the placebo benefit.
Sure, yeah.
But either way around, you've got 50% of people that are getting a significant benefit. And when I say a significant benefit, we're talking about a kind of 30% reduction in pain. So that's from taking your pain score from 5 to 6 down to around about 3 to 4. So a bit of an improvement.
Well, I was taking 10 milligrams at night, once a day, and I didn't find any particular benefit from that. In fact, I think I was prescribed it for reduction in headaches.
Yeah. Did it work for that?
No.
No. Okay. So amitriptyline can be enormously powerful for helping people to sleep. It can help with pain relief,
mm-hmm.
and it can help with headaches,
yeah.
preventing headaches. But if you're taking too small a dose, it might not be helpful enough. Now, did you have any side effects with the amitriptyline?
I don't think so.
No, okay. So we could revisit that and we could think about that. So if we click on amitriptyline itself, we find that 1 in 3 people get a dry mouth with it. 1 in 3 people get sleepy with it. So we give it on a night, and it's often very helpful to help people with sleep. 1 in 5 people have problems with their balance. And maybe about 1 in 6 people find that they actually have to stop it because of the side effects they get.
I might have experienced a dry mouth, but
yeah.
not an amazing amount. And to help me sleep, I take mirtazapine.
And mirtazapine is quite a helpful tablet when it comes to sleep and appetite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what dose are you on at the moment?
20.
20. Are you sure? Because that's an unusual dose to be on.
Well, we've talked about a lot of medication, haven't we? I'm not sure about that one.
I think you're on 15 milligrams.
15, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let me clarify, you're not using any pregabalin at the moment?
No.
No, okay. And it was 50 milligrams 3 times a day that you were on before?
Yes.
Okay.
I have been up to a higher level than that, but it really knocked me out.
Yeah. Now, amitriptyline at 5 to 10 milligrams may not be sufficient to deal with your pain.
Yeah.
And it may not be sufficient to deal with any sleep problems that you might have.
Yeah.
So there's the potential that once you're used to it and you're not having any side effects, you could gently push the dose and go up to...
Yeah.
What was the highest dose that you've been on before?
10. It's the highest. Yeah. Dr. Romberg did suggest doubling to 20.
Have you ever tried that at all?
I was reluctant.
Okay. Well, I use it an awful lot. I find it a drug that's been so well tried and tested that we know the pros and cons of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people have a fear about amitriptyline that they think they're going to become dependent upon it, and there's no suggestion that we have dependence problems. It's a very useful drug for helping people to sleep. It works, as we mentioned before, reasonably well as a painkiller. It's the best of the pain-killing, the neuropathic painkillers medications that we've got, in that it brings the numbers down the best in terms of dealing with pain, but we're still finding 50% of people that don't have any impact on their pain at all.
Yeah.
In terms of side effects, the main problems that I see is that it helps people to sleep, which is usually a bonus,
mm-hmm.
with most of the people that I use. But obviously, if you're finding you're drowsy in the morning, you're probably on too high a dose, in which case we have to reduce it.
Right.
The dryness of the mouth is the most common problem.
Yeah.
And most people tolerate that really well, as long as you start on a very low dose and then slowly increase the dose. I don't like to use it in very elderly people because they're very prone to being a bit having more difficulty with their balance.
Yes.
So I'd be very cautious about that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to its cleanliness in terms of its benefits versus its side effects, it has the best ratio for benefit versus side effect of all the medications when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Having said that, you may find that other medications like duloxetine and gabapentin and pregabalin don't have as much in the way of side effects, but they don't have as much benefit either. And yeah. And often the benefit of amitriptyline lies in getting the dose right. So if 5 milligrams doesn't do the job for you, pushing it to 10 or even 15 milligrams or maybe even 20 might be worthwhile considering. But I'd like you to just keep that on the table.
Okay.
Because I think that that has potential for being one of the most safe and useful treatments for you, for your pain. But it also can help with sleep, which is an issue for you.
It is.
And it can also help with your anxiety problems as well.
Yeah, yeah. As I say, I have reservations about this drug, but I've come to you for help. So it would be churlish for me to say I'm not taking it.
Well, no, what I'm trying to do is to put you in a better position to figure out which of these drugs might help you the most. And I've got to be as open as we possibly can be about the risk of side effects.
Yeah.
But these side effects are very predictable.
Right.
They're manageable. So I think that when it comes to the fear that people have, this drug's been around for decades and we know its limitations, we know its safety record. Whereas there are some concerns about medications such as pregabalin and gabapentin because they're potentially substances of misuse potential.
Mm-hmm.
So some people use them for the soporific effects that they have.
Okay.
And they have a street value as a consequence.
I do know
of that,
that, yes.
Yeah. So because you've mentioned this and because you've used it before, I'm going to mention pregabalin. And pregabalin has the potential in itself to reduce your pain by a pain score of, well, a 30% reduction in pain in 16% of people.
Right, not many.
So not very many, but it also has that same placebo benefit of 25%. So add those together, you then get a total of 41% benefit in any particular person trying it.
Okay.
So it can be worthwhile trying. It doesn't seem to be as effective in the population as amitriptyline, but it might be effective on an individual basis for pain.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of side effects, very prone to making people dizzy, to be fair. 20% of people also experience sleepiness, and 15% of people stop it because of side effects. So similar numbers in terms of stopping on both of those medications. So it's tolerated about the same, really, as amitriptyline. And because gabapentin is in the same family as pregabalin, it's worthwhile talking about that. And again, very similar benefit compared to pregabalin, an 18% benefit in terms of reducing your pain scores by 30%.
Yeah.
The same placebo benefit that we'd expect. So we still find that about 43% of people will get some apparent benefit with taking the tablets. Yeah.
My father-in-law has just been prescribed that for neuropathic pain.
Yeah. How is he finding it?
He insists it's not neuropathic pain, but it is.
Yeah.
He stopped taking it because of the side effects.
And what side effects was he experiencing?
He felt it, in his words, he was out of it.
Yeah, okay. So it can cause sleepiness, that out of it sensation. Now, I'm inclined with this family of medications usually to say, take it on a night, because if it makes you feel sleepy, take it on a night, and the benefit in terms of pain will last all day, mostly.
Mm.
I know a lot of my colleagues often encourage people to use it during the day, but because of the side effects, if you take the medication on a night, you get most of the side effects on a night. Most of the benefit will last for 24 hours or longer.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for taking it during the day for most people. And to keep the dose down to a minimum until you find that it's not causing side effects, and then you can slowly increase the dose. But I think that most people use too high a dose of both gabapentin and pregabalin. Other options for pain might include something like these new CBD oils that are on the market.
Yeah.
Now I can't prescribe these for you. There is some suggestion that they can help with pain, but they're very much down the pecking order.
Yes.
Maybe 1 in 10 people might get a bit of a benefit. There's still the same placebo benefit. So overall, we might find that maybe 30, 30% of people are getting some sort of benefit with that. So it's down, well down the pecking order. Opiates, including codeine and morphine, well, they help with pain, but they have a lot of problems and they have a lot of side effects.
And diazepam.
Well, diazepam we don't normally use for pain. We use it for anxiety some of the time.
That's right, yeah.
And for muscle spasm. But certainly when it comes to things like codeine and morphine, they make people constipated, they make them sleepy, they cause them to be nauseated, they can make them dizzy. And the benefit, their absolute benefit, is nothing. Is no better than all the other medications.
I'm very prone to constipation with codeine. Yeah.
So we can use them, but they do actually make, when you stop taking the codeine, it'll make you more sensitive to pain. It makes you need more of it.
Okay.
So that might not be a first choice of treatment options for pain.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to go back to anxiety as well.
Yeah.
So we've spoken a little bit about pain. When it comes to the evidence that I've presented to you there, does that help you crystallize your thoughts when it comes to pain options?
I briefly discussed it with my wife before I came to this appointment. And my initial thought was I would go back onto pregabalin.
Yeah.
Because of my reservations about amitriptyline. But I have to go by what the doctor says, because it's no good me turning up and say I'm ill and then refusing the medication. I've got to give it a try.
Well, you don't. Well, you can suck it and see, but I think that you need to be informed, and maybe your wife needs to be informed. Maybe there's no rush to make a decision today. There's nothing to stop you from going home today, having a chat with your wife, and then making a telephone appointment to speak to me tomorrow, and then we can make the decision then.
Okay.
That might work better for you.
Right.
So potentially amitriptyline, potentially pregabalin.
Mm-hmm.
They're for both anxiety and for pain.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we talk again tomorrow once you've spoken to your wife, and
yes,
once you and your wife have gone to this pain calculator,
right,
and looked at the options and gone through them.
Yeah.
Once you've read them together, if you want to bounce anything off me, do so. Give me a call tomorrow and let me know what you fancy. Because I'm not making decisions for you. You're making decisions, and I'm trying to inform you to make a good decision based on what I know.
Yeah.
But just to clarify my thoughts on amitriptyline, I think it's a long-standing medication that's very useful, that has some side effects, but on balance, those side effects are manageable as long as we get the right dose for you.
Yeah.
And it can help enormously with sleep and with pain. But it doesn't help everybody, and it doesn't work for everybody.
No.
But if you tolerated it at 5 and 10 milligrams, you could potentially go back on that, and then you could slowly increase the dose up until the point where you're starting to get side effects, and then you can back off a bit.
Right.
But don't expect pain relief from it until you've been on it for 2 or 3 weeks at the earliest.
Sure, yeah.
And in terms of anxiety, if you're sleeping better with it, it may help you cope with your anxiety levels a bit better too.
Right.
Why not keep a diary of your symptoms, and then that way round, you can be a little bit more objective. So you can score yourself on a daily basis with your anxiety level and your pain score.
I've had resistance from my wife about that as well.
Oh, okay.
Focusing on the symptoms too much.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you, next time we talk or next time we meet, bring your wife too, so that we can figure out what's going to be useful. So just as a temporary measure, to focus on your symptoms, just to know if there's an improvement.
Yeah.
And then distraction could be a really good technique for you to manage your pain, to be fair, but we'll come back to that another time.
Yeah.
I don't want to cover too much ground in one appointment.
Yeah, distraction as in going to the gym.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Questions, clarifications?
No, we've covered a lot of ground there, especially as you don't have the background information to hand.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.